Right, let's move on at 10 past 10. Home Secretary Sajid Javid has indicated that he's prepared to prevent the return of Shamima Begum, who left London to join ISIS when she was 15. She says she wants to come home, but writing in the Times, Sajid Javid said he would not let anything jeopardise the safety and security of the UK. This story broke yesterday after Miss Begum was found in a refugee camp. She said she didn't regret going to live under ISIS, but now wanted to come back to the UK as she is having a baby. The commentator Phil Kelly is with us this morning. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, and the former UKIP leader David McNary. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. What do you think, David? Should she be allowed home?
I agree with the Secretary of State. She shouldn't be let back. She left her country full of hate to be what was then an IS bride at 15. She has the hatred for the people of the United Kingdom. And now she wants to come back. And has she left that hatred behind? Has the brainwashing been washed away? But there is a concern, and I'm sure everybody will be aware of it. She is expecting a baby, Stephen. And I'm sure that the baby's rights will take over from this young lady's rights. And, you know, it's natural that everybody would be concerned over the well-being of a baby and what happens then. But is this lady planning just to come back home after two very sad losses of babies? Is she planning just to come home to give birth? And what guarantees do we have? It's going to cost an awful lot of money to facilitate. What guarantees do we have that she actually isn't going to leave the country again?
She was 15, David, when she made the decision. So that was a child making the decision. Biggest mistake of her life, or do you think not?
Well,
something more sinister, do you say?
The key terminology that she used at the time with her two other friends were, they were leaving to be they were leaving to be IS brides. That meant that they knew what they were doing at 15. Not an awful lot of people here.
A 15-year-old child can't consent, David.
No, she was going to ISIS to be a child bride. She was joining in the caliphate. She was going to be a terrorist and in with terrorists. She could decide to do that, and she became pregnant twice. In between being 15 and now 19, where she's pregnant again.
Well, if she got pregnant when she was
deliberately
when she was 15, well, you can't get pregnant deliberately, David, if you're 15.
How do you mean that, Stephen?
Are you serious?
No. Well, how do you mean you can't get? You saying that somebody at 15 can't get pregnant?
I'm saying you cannot get pregnant deliberately if you're a 15-year-old child.
Her intention of leaving this country to join a terrorist organisation was to be an ISIS bride.
David, I don't want to get caught up in this too much.
The idea is that you maybe give birth, and that's what she's done.
David, a child can't consent to sex.
Oh, I understand that. Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
Where you're coming from now.
That's what I'm saying. So
yeah,
a 15-year-old can't consent to sex. So she was raped, David. If she was made pregnant at 15, then she was raped.
She was, yes. I understand that. But whether rape is what happens in ISIS when we have an organisation that doesn't hesitate to kill innocent people, even their fellow Muslims, and that they get up to brutal and sadistic methods of execution, prisoners of war, their prisoners of war were...
Sorry, ISIS do that, not Muslims.
Pardon?
ISIS do that.
Yes, I know that. That's what
you
I said.
You said fellow Muslims.
I didn't say. I said that they killed even fellow Muslims.
Sorry. Okay.
And this girl has seen all of this. She's been part of it, and she has willingly wanted to participate in it. Is she a threat, as the Home Secretary says, if she settled here to this country, to her potential neighbours? I believe that we need to find all that out.
Okay. Phil Kelly?
Well, okay. Firstly, personally, I care very little for any of the people who formed Daesh and part of that death cult, and I would prefer that most of them stayed in Syria and never returned anywhere from that place. But my personal thoughts do not frame the law, quite rightly, and my personal lack of humanity in that regard doesn't frame the law. So the law is quite clear. She does have a right to return. And what is important is that the child receives the care, support, security that it needs when it is born, and that she herself faces the full weight and rigor of the law and is held accountable for the actions that she took. Now, there's a lot of focus here on these individuals designed to return. The biggest victim, you have to remember, in all of Islamic fundamentalism, Islamic extremism, is women. And, you know, there's a lack of discussion about the women who were enslaved by ISIS, who then were liberated and who then fought ISIS and formed a central part in the liberation of Raqqa.
It's a good discussion, Phil, but it's a different discussion. Let's focus on Shamima. Should she be allowed to return home? You're saying yes.
I'm saying yes, but I'm also going to say this, Stephen.
Yes, but hold on. I want you to hear this clip, please, before we continue. And we're taking your calls on this today, 030-30-80-55-55. We're going to hear from Shamima Begum. Anthony Lloyd from The Times spoke to her in the refugee camp. Listen carefully to what she says.
What was that like? Was that an experience which fulfilled your aspirations of what it was?
Yeah, it actually really did. It was like a normal life. The life that they show on the propaganda videos, you know, it's a normal life. But every now and then there are bombs and stuff, but other than that, you know.
Did you ever see executions?
No, but I saw a beheaded head in the bin.
In the bins?
Yeah, in the
bin. What was that like when you first saw that? These are the heads of captives?
Yeah. Didn't faze me at all.
She saw... It didn't faze her at all, seeing beheaded heads in a bin, Phil.
Stephen, let me be clear here. She presents a clear and present danger to people living here, people living in Syria, people living anywhere where she ends up residing. That's why I'm saying that if she does return, she should face the full weight of the law. Now, I want to say this, though. Sajid Javid says about the safety and security of people in the UK, but those words ring hollow when it was the UK government who was describing the myth of a moderate opposition to be used to topple Bashar Assad in Syria. There was no moderate opposition. These were head-chopping extremist jihadis that the UK government was supporting. And I will remind you...
Phil. We're talking about the threat to the people in the United Kingdom.
I agree. And I want to deal with that because it's about rank hypocrisy. The UK's biggest ally in the Middle East is the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, who, if you all remember...
I'm not listening to you preaching away about something that doesn't count in my country.
It does.
My country.
You're talking about a regime that is an ally of the UK who dismembered a journalist in a consulate in Turkey.
We're talking about a girl, Phil, who wasn't fazed. Did you get the word? Wasn't fazed by seeing beheaded heads in rubbish bins.
David, let me speak.
Walk down a street or any street and not be fazed by seeing beheaded heads.
Let me speak slowly so as you get this. Okay, I have said that she presents a real and credible threat to anyone who she lives around.
Well,
and
bring her back.
The full weight of the law, because that is what the law says should happen. And what
she left the law in the United Kingdom.
Well, David, one argument, David McNary, one argument for her allowing her to come back into the country is that her child.
Yes.
Should her child not have an opportunity to live a free life in this country?
Absolutely, Stephen. That is where this is most difficult. And that is where this young lady is very clever. She is going to be using her child to get her back to the United Kingdom.
But you would stop that child? You would not give that child?
I would, of course.
You wouldn't, because you don't want her back into the country.
I'm a father, Stephen, and a grandfather.
No, I get that. But if you have to call it, you're saying she should not be allowed back, therefore her child doesn't get back.
No, what I'm saying is that her child's welfare will be looked after wherever she actually gives birth. Wherever she is now, if she gives birth to a baby...
Well, she's in a refugee camp.
Yeah, wherever she is now, on her way to get a flight to come to London, which is what she wants to do. If she gives birth in between that time, her child will be looked after. The chances that that baby has in coming to London is that it'll be taken away from its mother, or she may be. I don't know how the court case or any court case will work out. Once the civil rights lawyers and the human rights lawyers get at this, it'll be a dog's biscuit costing us millions of pounds for something we don't need. But the baby is paramount, and I agree with you. And that's why it's very, very difficult to talk about this without having feelings for an unborn child.
Okay, here's Connor in Bangor. Morning, Connor.
Good morning. I just wanted to express my opinion after listening to William Crawley yesterday. I was shocked at the amount of hate that was spoke towards this young girl. At the end of the day, she wasn't born with hate. All this ideology was installed in her. Not only out there, at 15, she was raped. She was raped. I think we've lost her human... we've lost touch that she is a young girl and she needs help. She's reaching out for help, and everybody's shouting that she's a threat. She's a threat to society. Which is a lot of rubbish.
You don't think someone that goes off to join ISIS is a threat to society?
No, not a young girl of that age who has been brainwashed. I just feel we've lost our human compassion towards the young girl.
Connor, thank you. Terry in Belfast. Morning, Terry.
Good morning. There's one thing that I just do not understand about this whole idea of people who became involved with ISIS coming back to Britain. During what was euphemistically called the Troubles here, there was a piece of legislation called the Exclusion Act, where people from Northern Ireland, if they wanted to travel to Britain, were stopped. And they weren't terrorists. For some reason, I know trade unionists who were banned from going to Britain. And these people who left Britain to join ISIS, they consciously went to join a terrorist organisation which has caused possibly hundreds of thousands of deaths. And they made that choice consciously, and under no stretch of the imagination should they ever, any of them, ever be allowed back into Britain.
Well, Terry, stay there because you'll be interested in Diane and Dunmurry. I think she disagrees with you. Morning, Diane.
I'm not interested in what Gary says.
So Diane and Dunmurry, we'll be interested in other people's opinions.
Yes, of course, I listen to opinions.
Go on, Diane. I thought it wasn't going to get wound up this morning. There's 23 minutes past 10 that's happened.
I'm of the opinion we need to show a bit of mercy here to this girl. I want to hear what she says when she gets back.
Your man's away. He slammed down the phone.
Oh, for goodness sake. Never mind. Anyway, very briefly, Stephen, we need mercy here. There's a baby coming. She's lost two children. Your researcher told me there. I've been in the hospital. Stephen only home there from Wednesday night. I'm a wee bit out of the loop. But apparently she asked to be married when she got out there. She stole her sister's passport to make herself older. And she opted to be married. I didn't even know that. But anyway, let's hear what she has to say when she gets back. I have a feeling if she said, I want home, it's been terrible. My God, the girl's lost two wee babies.
If she wasn't carrying a baby and hadn't lost two babies and an overall compassionate Diane...
She's unrepentant, by the way, Diane.
Would you allow her back?
She's a British passport. She's married under duress at 15. It's illegal here, I know. You can't be married here at 15. You cannot give your consent at 15.
Well, what about all the other people who have just...
Let her back.
Let
her come back and let's hear what you
have. What about all the others who have justifiable...
Hold on, Phil.
Terrorist organisation.
One point.
Hold on, Phil. Let David speak to Diane. That'll bring you in, I promise.
I can't hear. That man keeps talking.
Sorry, Diane.
Talking over me.
Okay, David McNary's going to speak to Diane and Dunmurry.
All right, Dan. I hope you're feeling better.
I speak, are you? Good.
What about, Diane, all the other people, men, involved in all sorts of criminal activity, etc., who maybe want to come back to claim their children, or women who have got pregnant? Are we going to let everybody in?
I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth.
I'm only asking you a question.
Now you need to listen, okay?
I'm only asking you the question. Don't be cheeky.
Don't you be cheeky. Anyway, we need compassion here. The Lord is a compassionate Lord. The Lord.
Oh, you know it all.
Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, cool.
Okay, and Ken Wilkinson in Antrim. Morning, Ken.
Christianity. Good morning, Stephen. There's a couple of very valid points that I haven't heard anyone discussing. And you keep talking about this woman's unborn baby. What about the British soldiers, British personnel who lost their lives fighting ISIS? A lot of them had children. Some of them had unborn children and will never see their father or mother. What about them? And you keep continually saying that this girl was raped. This girl went out there and joined this Islamic faith.
Child. She went out as a child.
Went out as a child. But under Islamic faith, 15-year-old, you can consent to sex from 12-year-old on upwards. Who says she was raped?
Because we believe in this society, we believe in this country, Ken. You don't believe a child can consent to sex now, Ken, do you?
No, but I'm saying out there, they can marry at 10 and 12-year-old. But I'm making the point about the British personnel. No, there is British personnel who have come back from there, who have committed suicide, who are suffering from post-traumatic stress. There's no attention given to them. There's some of them living on the streets. Just check the facts on that there, Stephen, and go and ask the mothers or the fathers who have had children, whose fathers and mothers have lost their lives in fighting the ISIS. That point has been made. We're on here about a girl who went out there willingly. She says she wasn't worried about when she's seen beheading. She shouldn't be allowed back into this.
Phil Kelly?
Well, let me come back at Ken there and, you know, the points that David McNary has made, because they're presenting this as if this is a problem somewhere else. But hundreds of fighters left the UK to fight for ISIS. Lots of girls left the UK. They were radicalised here. They became extremists in the UK. Now, the UK has a debt to pay to the Syrians, the Kurds, and the Yazidi people who suffered at the hands of this appalling cult. Now, the idea that it's not our problem is ridiculous. It is our problem. It needs to be dealt with here.
Sorry for cutting across. What I'm saying to you is, what about the British soldiers? What about their children? Are you not worried about theirs?
Well, of course, but let me, Ken, I've just said on the show that the UK government supported toppling Bashar Assad by using jihadist proxies, arming, training them, supporting them.
I'm asking you about the welfare of British soldiers and their children. Answer the question, please.
I think anyone who fought ISIS, anyone, and especially the Kurdish women who fought ISIS, should be held up as heroes. And that ISIS, as I said, is a death cult. It is a form of fascism that
nobody
needs to be eradicated
that,
from the face of the earth.
But Phil, nobody disagrees with that. We're talking about can this young girl, is it right that she comes back after being 4 years away?
Is it right that
after being married to ISIS?
David, is it right that hundreds of UK citizens
were away? Again, we're talking about this one girl and the impact.
Well, let's let Phil make his point first. Let's let Phil make his point.
My point, David, you keep saying, is it right that she comes back? Is it right that hundreds of radical extremists were allowed to leave Britain and go to Syria and indulge in an orgy of violence and killing against innocent Syrians, and now you're saying you don't want them back? Bring them back, make them feel
radicalised
as UK citizens, and throw away the key.
Okay, David McNary.
In the UK.
Sorry?
Who radicalised these people that left our country? Who radicalised them in the UK?
That needs to be investigated, and we need to have a proper...
investigated. ISIS is everywhere. They don't need to be fighting wars anymore. They're right in our streets. They're right in our faces.
Well, I think that's a slight exaggeration, isn't it?
Extremism of any kind, whether it be the far right rising through racism and xenophobia, whether it be fundamentalist extremist Islam, whatever manifestation this brutal, horrible extremism takes, it needs to be rooted out of any community and any society. And that is a priority for any people to take.
Listen, there's the music. Phil and David, unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Good morning. It was a lively show this morning. I'm on 5 Live tonight at 10 o'clock. If you want to, God help you, listen to me then. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night on 5 Live. Back here on BBC Radio Ulster Monday morning as usual at 9 o'clock if we want to continue talking to each other 24 hours a day on Twitter at Stephen Nolan. The real Stephen Nolan on Facebook. Listen, Vinny, what it is on Snapchat. Radio Nolan. If you want to send me a picture where you're listening to Radio Ulster right now, send me a wee snap. It's Radio Nolan. And we'll talk to each other again on Monday morning. Have a good weekend, everyone. Thanks for your company. Bye-bye.